good, good. Loves your mom, loves Jesus. In America too, she's a good girl. She's crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
Yeah, what's up? How's it going? Last Exit to Brooklyn, Tom McCaffrey, Eric Bronstein.
Took a while to get to the chorus, but I was like listening.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a classic song.
It's such a great song, and also like a great California song.
Yeah, it
all
is.
All those California
references. A lot of references. That I didn't understand when it came out, because it was like 89, I think.
Right there.
Yeah.
One of the best albums of the 80s, by the way, I always thought.
What's it called?
Full Moon Fever.
Okay. What else is on there?
I Won't Back Down.
Yeah.
Running Down a Dream. You know that song?
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
You're So Bad. You're so bad.
Yeah. What about the one, Don't Come Around Here No More? Is that on there?
That's the one before that.
Okay. What was the name of that album?
I forgot. Something Southern Accents, I think. We're talking about Tom Petty, by the way.
Yeah, Tom Petty, I guess. Well, as of right now, it's like 7 o'clock on October 2nd, it says that there are reports that he died, but it's not. There's other reports that say that's not official yet. So I don't know what's going on. I mean, at the very least, he's like in like critical condition from a heart attack. Only 66 years old.
I know.
Super young.
Imagine if he lived.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Because after that, I mean, like, I don't know. People just like really like want someone to be dead or something. They're just like, all right, he's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a bummer because I never saw him live and that. He just toured.
Yeah, especially in Forest Hills Tennis Stadium. I was going to see it, and I was like,
I always like do that. I always like miss these huge, like, and it'll be like, oh, where was it? It'd be like, oh, it was like in the apartment next door to you, the concert. I'm like, oh yeah, I couldn't have made that.
He was like one of my favorite growing up.
Was he really?
Oh yeah, he was just like one of. I wasn't into like hip hop as much as you were. Really
yeah,
back
no,
then.
He was. Yeah. I think I was telling you before. He was like the first artist that I heard when I was really young and liked.
Yeah.
Where you know when you get to a certain age you don't really know music.
Yeah.
Probably like your first 7 or 8 years you're just listening to like and the wheels go round and right. You know, you don't know what music is. But he was the first one that I heard that I was like, oh, this is like good.
And he was one of the first guys to really use the MTV well, because that couple of that video, ever see the video for Don't Come Around Here No More?
Yeah, the whole Alice in Wonderland. It's a really great video. It's actually, I think, directed by someone famous.
I think it's
Phil Joanu. Who direct? Yeah, that guy.
You making up names now?
He directed Rowl and Hum.
Movie. Yeah.
But he's directed like, I think he directed like, I might be completely wrong.
I could buy that.
He directed a movie with like Sean Penn and Gary Oldman. What was that movie about the Irish Mafia?
Oh yeah, I don't remember it, but I know the movie.
Yeah,
though.
I think it was called. it was like a good movie. It was kind of the first.
But,
Gary
and
Oldman
Petty,
movie.
And you remember Petty then. That was kind of a comeback for him, too, a little bit with that album. And then
Which one? The Don't Come Around Here one?
No, that wasn't not as big. And this Full Moon Fever was a monster hit for him.
Like, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't even a comeback. It just put him into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
And then he did the Traveling Wilburys, remember?
Yeah.
And they had some good songs. And
I only know the one. It's all right. You know, that's their big song, right?
Yeah, and Handle With Care.
End of the
line. You know the Handle With Care.
No.
Yes, you do.
You're right. But I remember that Traveling Wilburys.
I'm so tired of being lonely.
Oh, yeah. It was with Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
He died right after they like came out with an album, right? I remember that End of the Line song.
It's a great song.
It is a really good song. And I had like gone through it. This was like 11 years ago. I'd gone through this really bad breakup. And like, I was like, it had been a while. And I was like, you ever go through something like that? And like, you're getting over it. But then you start to get really frustrated how like you're not getting over it fast enough.
Yeah.
Fuck, sorry, it's my phone. I just remember hearing that song in the car, and like it, like kind of, I felt like it was the last thing that got me over my breakup.
Right.
I don't know why.
Is it Tom Petty calling?
Probably. Tom, I wanted you to be the first to know that I'm okay. I'm going to play a little bit of the song. Sorry, is that okay? Yeah. But I mean, I always remember this song because
great
of
song.
That. I knew the song, and I remember for some reason it like made me feel better.
Oh, it's a great
about
song.
The breakup.
That's George Harrison right there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like a sick band.
It was a super band. I'll tell you who.
Yeah, isn't it like Bob Dylan in it?
Dylan. Jeff Lynne.
My God.
Jeff,
I feel like I didn't realize this at the time.
I think this is where Petty comes.
Yeah. Perfect timing with the phone.
All right. I always thought... that Petty actually sounded like Bob Dylan, but Bob Dylan could never really sing. His voice sucks, you know?
Did it? I know everyone says it. I mean, but that's the thing is, like, it made it, that, I mean, I don't know. That's what made it unique. But then that's weird because a lot of people are bad. Like, I'm not a good singer. People would be like, this guy's great. I mean, it was just writing and everything,
yeah,
too.
But that's what I'm saying is that Bob Dylan's great. He just wasn't a great singer. And I always felt like Tom Petty sounded the way Bob Dylan should have sounded because they're similar, but Bob... Tom Petty could sing. He could actually sing, but they were very similar in their styles.
Right.
It was actually a funny... Did you ever see that? It was an old Saturday Night Live sketch. It was really funny. It was Dana Carvey did Bob Dylan, and David Spade did
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. And they're both talking to each other. Yeah, they're both talking to each other, and none of them make sense, because they, oh, yeah, talk like this.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
Really? No, I never saw that.
It's really funny.
I do remember that when he would play Tom Petty, because like, sometimes he would do that, like... One time he did it, I guess early on during the time where the band is, remember like in between sketches,
yeah,
the band would play.
Yeah.
What was his name? That weird guy who would always be like playing the guitar.
D. Smith, or G.E. Smith.
Yeah, G.E. Smith. And like he was, David Spade was dressed as Tom Petty and like pretending to be Tom Petty. But so like, what's one of your, what is your favorite Tom Petty? A quick thing about that song, Free Falling. First of all, it's my dad's favorite song.
Yeah.
Like, and my dad likes like four. My dad's one of those guys that likes like three things.
Yeah, that's a classic.
And that is like the song he always would go to. And that is, I mean, obviously that's a really good song, but what really kind of drove home what a great song that is to me is in Jerry Maguire. You remember?
That's what I was just going to bring up.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, and that's it is a great driving song.
It is.
He's driving. He just got to close the deal.
Yeah, with Kush.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's such a great scene because it's so real where you're like really excited and he's trying to sing along to a song and he can't find a good song to sing along to.
And then he finally finds one.
Yeah.
And I'm free. Yeah. That was actually a great, that was so realistic because you've been in that situation before.
Yeah. And in other movies, it's funny how like Cameron Crowe, you know, sometimes he's good at those little like specific detail things, minutia of life of how that happens.
Right.
Because in other movies, they would have a scene like that, but they would always just already be at the song or they would just be playing it over the scene.
There was another Tom Cruise movie that really resonated with me, something that I did in my life. You ever seen Mission Impossible?
Yeah, that part
when he goes through the ceiling.
And then a part with me is when he fucks that
joking.
Chick. No, I know. When you rob the CIA. For me, it was when he fucked that hot chick.
Yeah.
I was like, that's like me.
Exactly like you.
It was very, I was like, wow, this is so great.
What about War of the Worlds? That was kind of like my life too.
Yeah, when you abandon your kids. I was trying to find a thing. That's a good one. So that's it. Well, we'll
one time I actually took my autistic brother across country.
Yeah.
And
that was very realistic too. And was your autistic brother a great actor too?
Great actor. And
yeah.
You know, could count matchsticks when you drop them on the ground. Or
I met Dustin Hoffman right after that movie, like won everything. I met him like literally for like 1 second. I was getting out of high school and I knew all these girls and we went to that performing arts school and they ran into this girl they knew on the street and they were talking to her and I looked and it was Dustin Hoffman and his wife, it was his daughter, the girls I was with knew.
Oh, cool. Was he cool?
I remember I was with another friend of mine who's an actor and we were like, hey man, like we're really big fans and he just was like, mm-hmm.
All right.
He didn't. I heard for a while he kind of became like that Rain Man type guy.
Oh, really?
But I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want to talk to him.
Because you're a stranger and 8 million people approach him a day. Yeah. You know?
What a dick. He didn't want to talk to some 16-year-olds. So what's your favorite Tom Petty song?
I just was downloading a lot of them today. I mean, I love that whole album, but with Running Down a Dream, I like that song. You Don't Know How It Feels.
I was going to say, that's the one I'm looking up right now. I love that song.
And that's the one that when it was in, that was in the mid-90s, and when he said, smoke another joint on it. Yeah. And on those radio stations, they wouldn't say joint.
Let's smoke another. They, take it out. It's really weird. I wonder what he's saying.
Yeah, but you think about how much things have changed now.
Dude,
you
know? I watch TV. There's shows now, that FX show, Horror Story.
Yeah.
They say fuck the entire show. I was watching The Deuce. Do you watch that?
No.
Do you know what that is? With James Franco, Maggie Gyllenhaal, about, prostitutes. Dude, they show them blowing dudes, but then, they showed the guy's dick.
Oh, man.
Can you believe? I was like, what the fuck is this?
Well, it's HBO. Is that show good?
I can't. Yeah.
That show just seems like it's so trying too hard. It's like, oh, it's the 70s. We're in our 70s outfits. And it's like they're incorporating everything that worked in some other show.
Right.
Thing. It's just too. I
think it's good. I feel like it's like, I don't know. It's not really. Nothing's going on. You know, sometimes you do that with shows where, they're like, this show's so great because, nothing's happening. I've talked about this before. Yeah. You don't know what's happening. You know, and it's kind of like, it's following a bunch of storylines, but nothing's really happening. And I guess it's supposed to be kind of the opposite of Vinyl, because Vinyl was
over the top.
And then we got the record. Oh my God, it didn't. This is more
subtle,
realistic. You know, I guess. And you know, it looks really good, even though sometimes the wigs are so bad. I'm like, come on. Just get these actors to grow their hair or hire another guy.
Did everybody in 1970 have long hair and a mustache? I guess they might have.
I guess in this show they do. But when I saw that, I mean, Maggie Gyllenhaal, every scene, she's just blowing dudes. And then they show the guy's dick. I was watching the New Edition story, which is on a regular network. And there's scenes where Bobby Brown's being blown.
Oh, wow. And they show his dick?
No, they cut the line there. But still, I was like, dude, what?
Yeah.
This is you can't that's what I mean. You can't, before it was when we were young, saying bitch was a big deal.
I know. And that time, I remember that petty. And I remember though even listening to that on the radio and they go, and get another. Even at that point I was like, really? It's joint. It's not even.
Let's smoke another. Yeah. Oh, I wonder what they're saying. Yeah, and it's just I'll tell you why I love it. I mean, I love that song, but I guess I don't have to play every song. I wrote a screenplay years ago, and I actually got it to this producer director guy. He's Jay Chandrasekhar. Jay Chandrasekhar.
Oh, the guy for that.
The guy who directed Super Troopers and Dukes of Hazzard, and he's in that Broken Lizard thing. Yeah. And he read it and he liked it. I went to LA and met with him. It didn't go anywhere, but it was cool. I met with that guy for an hour.
Right. What does that have to do with Tom Petty?
Nothing. I just wanted to talk about that. It's because I think it's a really funny script. And I would always tell people that. And they were always like, wow, that's a really good idea. It was about a guy who he's a loser and he got plastic surgery to look like Matt Damon. Uh-huh. And so he looks exactly like Matt Damon. And so everyone thinks he's Matt Damon. And him and his friend's a loser too. They kidnap Matt Damon and tie him up and put him in their apartment.
Yeah.
And then he just moves into Matt Damon's mansion with his friend and takes over his life.
That's funny.
And he just kind of ruins Matt Damon's acting career because he's a bad actor.
You know, you could actually do that now, and I know the actor.
Who?
That guy, Jesse Plemons, the one who looks like Matt Damon. He's he was in that show.
Go ahead. Yeah, he's in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and they called him Meth Damon on the show.
Oh, really?
Because he looked just like Matt
Damon. Well, in the thing, it would be Matt Damon would be playing both parts.
Oh, I see.
But you could kind of do it with any different. I just thought Matt Damon was a funny one. So anyway, the whole thing is that he... I based it on there was a show on MTV called I Want a Famous Face. This is what was the impetus of it. And it was people would get plastic surgery to look like celebrities. And I was like, wow, this is what does this come to that now this is where we are, that people are getting plastic. That's how much people hate themselves and worship celebrities.
Right.
So the whole movie is supposed to be he finds who he really is and wants to be himself. And he becomes famous in his own right because of what happens, and then he looks like himself at the end, and then at the end he goes to like a big Hollywood party and there's a guy there who looks like him.
Oh, that's funny.
That's plastic surgery look like him. Yeah. And in the script the closing song is that you don't know how it feels to be me.
I just
thought that was like a cool.
Yeah. You're like Tarantino. You're writing the thing as your soundtrack
totally.
While you're writing it.
When I would write scripts, I would do that. Like, oh, yeah. I would always like have a song. I just did that recently. Another song, but yeah, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, I've
oh, okay. Have you ever written a screenplay?
I've written some ideas. I had an idea once that I thought was a good idea.
A guy to get plastic surgery. Look at Ben
it was
Affleck.
Slightly similar to your thing.
Was it?
Not really, though.
Okay.
This was just. It was like a few years back, and I wrote like an outline of it. It was a few years back, and there was some I forgot artist. Who was it? Where they were a singer that was so fucked up, right?
Yeah.
That they this person was not showing up to concerts and stuff like that.
So they hired someone else?
No. So
okay.
Basically, then Vegas was but there was some website that was taking odds whether that person would show up to the next concert.
Oh, okay.
And my idea was like this desperate guy, he needs money really badly.
So he like kidnaps him?
So I think it was more not kidnapping. It was like to find the guy and party with him so much that he can't show up to the
concert. So almost similar to like Get Him to the Greek, but the opposite.
Yeah, sort of like that. But I think I thought of it before then. But just he fucks him up. It was such a weird idea.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Did you ever write any of it?
I wrote like an outline of it, but I thought it was too kind of specific. I don't know.
They're kind of hard to write. For a while, I was really into writing screenplays. I would write them like one after the other.
Oh, nice.
And a few of them got into people, but they just, you know, screenplays, especially now, it's just like, and this was back, you know, like 10, 11 years ago, like, they're just, you know, it's hard to get people to like sign on to do them, you know, like even if someone big reads them, they're like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
You're better off just making the movie, though.
That's kind of what I finally did with my movie. I just was like, that's why I made that movie, Adventures in Comedy, by the way, everyone. Available on everything except Netflix.
Hey, there's a lot of death today. No plugs.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So you mentioned Vegas. So we can just talk about this for a second.
I
mean, I don't really want to get into it because it's not really like, I don't know what else I could say about it.
It's hilarious, though.
Yeah, I know. Enough times passed. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for like going to a show and waiting for the shitty jokes already about it.
Well, you know what I like today, though? Because finally, you know, the Vegas shooting, people would not want to talk because, like, the NRA people would be like, it's not the right time. And they would only always do that. So, this is the time. You talk about it when this shit happens.
Right, right.
You talk about climate change when there's a hurricane. Because if you don't, people forget about the shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And
especially now.
And even today, I know me, but I was, you know, on Twitter, everyone immediately was like, gun control. You say it day of. You know,
I read a thing. I already read a Facebook post. You know, a right wing person I know, was like,
not the right
shitting
time.
Attacking Hillary Clinton, I guess, for making a comment about maybe gun control.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, "How dare you? You know, these people are dying. People are dying, and people are bloody, just been killed, and you're already making statements." I was like, "Jeez, yeah. I feel like that's like a little soon to just be get." To just be so angry,
know.
You know what I mean?
She's a private citizen. She can say whatever the fuck she wants.
I know. I don't understand. Like, why are you attacking her?
Your president is a public citizen, and he says horrible things seven times a day.
Jesus, that whole the Puerto Rico when he was like attacking the mayor. Oh my god, that like really sickened me.
Yeah,
because that was like a new level. I was like, dude, what are you like? I know he's crazy and everything, and he just said, but it's like. I don't know. It's that thing. Again, I'm like, what are people seeing in this guy?
Because he's feeding red meat to the base. Like, it was like not really even tinged. It was so racist. He goes, these people can't take care of themselves.
They want everything done for. I mean, like.
You know what he's trying to say there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because they're Puerto Ricans.
Right.
Do you think he knows it's a U.S. territory?
I think he knows.
Someone's had to have told. But I mean, I'm talking about like people that like I know who like still, you know, justified voting for it, that aren't like such, you know, alt right wing crazy people. I don't know. I just feel like it's getting to the point where like if you voted for him, I'm like, I don't like my opinion of you really drops.
But his base is only
not
happy
that they care.
I was only happy if the other side is angry. They don't care about.
Right.
They just want to anger liberals.
But it's that big. I mean, the people outside of that. I guess I'm talking about the Jill Stein people, too.
Fuck
like,
them, man.
I know. Like,
and you're hearing more rumors that she took money from Russia, you know?
Of course. I mean, that's the other thing, this whole thing with like the flag and the national anthem. And it's like, respect our country. It's just kind of like, what about you, dude? Like, you colluded with Russia? I don't know. It's just such an odd.
And how about this? These guys, you know, that's a First Amendment issue, right?
Yeah.
And those guys were like, you know, we believe in the First Amendment, but there should be some restrictions. You shouldn't protest like that. But when it comes to the Second Amendment, the one with the guns, they're like, oh, no restrictions at all. You can have any gun. You can have a fucking silencer or whatever the fuck they're trying to pass.
Even though there are things, like, I've read cases about the Second Amendment where people will want to have like just a gun to protect themselves, but there's a thing that's not wasn't really what it was meant for in the Constitution.
Right.
Like, bare arms didn't mean you should just have guns in your house.
Of course.
Plus so
it's 200 years ago. Why are we listening to this garbage?
It's really the whole thing. I've gotten into, you know, conversation, but when you get into conversation with someone who like adamantly is on that side of the gun discussion, who, you know, is all for like no regulation, it immediately turns into they just scream at you and they get mad. They're just like, because the whole thing of like they'll be like, I don't understand, they want to like regulate, like, you know, automatic weapons, like you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, well, I think it's like, so that I had a conversation with someone, like, I think it's because, like, if you go somewhere and you're crazy and they don't want to make it so easy to just murder so many people. You know, and they're like, well, they shouldn't be able to, like, regulate that. And I'm like, well, I think they're just trying to give people a fighting chance if someone's murdered. And they're like, but people still will get killed. I'm like, yeah, but not as many.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And it's like, you know, some people say this was an ISIS guy. And if it is, you know, or he was, you know, they'll be like, well, you see, it was ISIS. That's why he did it. Yeah, that might be true. But here's the thing, though. If this is an ISIS guy, right?
I don't think it is.
But let's just say it is.
Yeah.
All right? What he really wanted to do was take a bomb and throw it in there.
Right.
But you know why he couldn't take a bomb and do that?
Because
you can't buy a fucking bomb in a fucking store in Walmart.
But you can just get, like, machine guns.
Yeah. So if you can't get the machine gun, then the next thing is, like, you know, you throw a knife or you drive a car. But that shit doesn't kill, like you said, so many people.
Yeah.
You know?
So that, I think the most striking thing when I was first watching it is that this guy has like a girlfriend. like they kept being like his girlfriend. He's like 65. She looks okay. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
I know.
This girl won't text me back. I don't understand. This guy is.
Hey, did you see his brother? And his brother.
Oh, I saw that. That was a really early interview. His brother's just kind of like, I don't know, man. He's like weird.
No, but his brother said something that was kind of funny.
What?
He was like, he was a regular guy. He had like no guns. And then he swear to God, he goes like this. He had no guns. All right, yeah, he had a couple of handguns in his house. But that's all I saw, a couple of handguns. This is his exact words.
Yeah.
Like, he had a couple of handguns, but that's it. That's all he had was a couple of, I think I saw a rifle or two.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this list is getting bigger all of a sudden.
Kind of like in The Jerk. Did you ever see that? I don't need anything except for this ashtray. I don't need any of this paddle game. I don't need one more. I need this.
So you saw the guy making out with a sub. With submachine gun, but you did see him have a lot of guns. So it maybe was a little of a red flag.
Yeah.
You know?
Does he say anything else about it? I just remember he was like, I mean, obviously he seemed freaked out because.
Well, when you're the relative, when that shit always happens, they always get the relative. And the relative, if they're smart, they get in front of it because, you know, people are going to want blood. They want the relative.
Right.
So they were, I have nothing. I don't even know this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's my brother. He's my wife.
This guy, like, played it all wrong. Yeah. I know he had guns.
But he still was like, I didn't even know, you know, that type of thing.
I didn't even know he was going to go to that hotel. So what, it was just like a concert and then he just started, is there anything, but any motive that they found? He killed himself?
Yeah, well, happened? I think the new thing now is with the concerts like Ariana Grande is that she was in an open area too, because, you know, in these concerts, you can't bring in guns. They have metal detectors and stuff like that. But if it's an open area place, you could probably with a gun from far away pick people off.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a concert in like a stadium that's really closed off, that's impossible to do.
Yeah.
I feel like that maybe you're going to start seeing less concerts
of
where
course.
It's like just on a lawn somewhere.
Now
you know?
It's just everything changed. They make it, these people, all they do is just ruin security for everyone. Like the planes. I mean, getting on a plane now is like unbearable.
I know.
And I always get pulled over and like fucked with. I'm like terrified when I get on a plane. Like the flying part isn't even like the scary, but you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, I'm going to be in line.
I know. I got to take off your shoes.
The shoes thing is really like, they have to figure something out.
But I think I told you this once. One time the lines are really backed up and they're like, we're really backed up, so we're not going to do the shoe thing today. I'm like, well,
why don't we ever just not do that? What airport was that?
It was like LaGuardia. But I was like, then if you don't have to do it now, they're basically saying it's bullshit. So we're just not going to do it.
There's got to be something that like that can change, some kind of policy that they can finally change. I don't know. Why is it because that one guy lit a shoe on fire?
Yeah, but they give you these full body scans
now.
No,
I know. It's so ridiculous.
That's the one I hate the most. I don't know why I hate the shoes the most.
I hate the shoes too. It's really hard. You have to keep track of so much shit when you're going through, like your shoe. And then they're like, you have to put your shoes in like a separate bin. Yeah. Your computer. You're using like 8 bins.
Yeah, and then you have to, when you get them, you have to find a place to put them back on and tie them.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know.
Soon you're not even going to be able to have legs. No feet anymore.
They're fucking crazy with the laptops too, right?
They are. They're just, and also they're just, the TSAs are just dicks on top of it. They always.
Yeah, they pat down grandmas and.
They pat me down. And I got patted down once, like to a point where I was like, this dude, come on. Like, you're jerking me off.
You got a little thrill there, though.
I mean, isn't that a big complaint for a lot of, I mean, I've had that happen where I'm like, dude, stop. Dude. I didn't say anything. I'm like, really? Like, why do you keep doing that?
Did you see that one
video? He didn't even work there.
It wasn't even at the airport.
Yeah. It was at the deli.
You ever see that's like one video? I think it was a special needs kid or an autistic kid. And this guy must have been a pedophile or something. He was an old guy. And he's patting this kid down for a good 15 minutes.
Really?
Like the kid's 7.
Yeah.
All right? And he's special. And you see the guy really, I'm like, this guy looks creepy. Like,
right.
Know.
Where's Brian Hansen for that shit? the Vegas thing. So, yeah, it was a pretty.
It's terrible, man. It's like, you know, it's the biggest.
It is, right? The biggest mess. Massacre
until the next
shooting.
One, which is going to be
what was the biggest one before that?
I think it been Pulse.
Yeah, that was like what 2 years ago, year and
no,
a half ago,
was a year ago.
And but that was that a gay club?
Yeah,
in Florida.
Yeah,
and a guy just went in with a machine gun.
Yeah,
how did he get in? He just walked in with a machine gun.
I don't. I know that was like he said that he was affiliated with ISIS. You know that
right?
Guy.
Did they just say that?
Well, ISIS actually took responsibility today for this, and I almost believed it because apparently ISIS has this rule that they won't take responsibility until the guy who does it is dead for some reason. If the guy's that's still large, ISIS won't say anything. So
really?
Right after they killed him, ISIS said, oh, yeah, he was ISIS.
Because he can't say anything, that it's not ISIS?
I don't yeah.
No, I'm just, I don't know. Like he just seemed like some dude in, I mean, ISIS dudes are just white dudes in Vegas, in like America.
The demographic does not fit
it
at
doesn't
all.
Seem like, I think sometimes you can just be like fucked up. Yeah. I don't know, like.
Well, you know.
Have you been to Vegas? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
No, not really.
How many times have you been?
I used to go a lot for work and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For work.
For prostitutes.
Honey, it's work related.
But that's the thing. Vegas now, last time I was there, gambling is so secondary there because you can gamble anywhere now in the world and you have online gambling.
Yeah.
So that's why Atlantic City's falling apart because it doesn't offer anything much else.
Really?
No.
You can gamble online?
Yeah.
Anywhere?
Anywhere. Oh. So, they have the reservations and stuff. And so now they're these Vegas and all these, but Vegas was the beginning. Where they have to make it more about the experience outside of gambling. They want
right.
you to gamble, but you don't have to. And Vegas, when you go down the strip in Vegas now, you don't even see signs for casinos or gambling. You see signs for Celine Dion, this person. And they make a lot of money on those things. You know?
I've been to Vegas like 4 times. I don't like it.
No.
I'm not that into it. I just don't think it's fun. It's only for gambling and like prostitutes, right? And I've never done the prostitute thing there, so like, or anywhere.
The only thing I like, last time I was there, I was like walking down the strip, and you know how guys sell like water, like on the streets of New York City. Some guy was selling cans of beer for a dollar, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, is this fine? And everyone's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, you can just do this? And then you could just buy the beer on the street and walk around with it on the street.
With it, an open container?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess you can walk around with the drinks there.
Yeah.
I just feel like, it's really gross and like, if you're not into gambling, I just feel like it's nothing but bad things.
It's not as bad as, like, Atlantic City is all about gambling now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always, but they didn't really, like, they didn't spread out more and do other things. That's why it's falling apart, you know,
right.
Because there's nothing else to do. Vegas, there are other things. It's just very, to me, too Disney now.
But, like, what?
Disney. You
yeah.
Know,
what other things, though? Isn't it only strippers and prostitutes? Like, if you want to do family things, that's a weird thing. There's always, like, families.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because they've made it very family-focused.
But then you'll walk down the street, and they're handing out flyers for, like, prostitutes. Yeah. And they're handing them to, like, families.
I know.
Like, there'll be a family. I'm like, dude, I don't think the family wants that. But well, that's where you're taking your family? Like, why would you take them there?
Because, you see, there was a country music concert there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's things going on.
But don't they have concerts other places, too?
They do.
I don't know. It's just like I don't like that. I don't like it there. Some people really get into it though. I never understood. I mean, I understand if you're going there to like have sex with prostitutes, then it's yeah. But if you're not, and when I go there, I gamble.
But I always think, for especially guys like me and you, like you live in New York, right? A lot of people go to Vegas because they live in a small town place.
Yeah.
And this is just incredible to them. There's so many things they can do that they can't do in their hometown.
Yeah.
We live in New York. We can do, outside of the gambling, which you can do online, or probably there's illegal places you can go.
Yeah,
you
there's prostitutes here.
Yeah, there's shows, there's prostitutes. So none of this stuff, I've been on a cruise once, and it was so boring, but everyone on the cruise was so excited.
Because of gambling?
Because of gambling and shows and stuff. And
you went on a cruise?
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I went on a cruise once. I went on a Disney cruise. It was fine. There was nothing, there was no gambling.
Oh, okay.
It was all tailored to kids.
Right.
I didn't like it that much, and I felt like kind of like uneasy for like 5 days after I got off. Like, you still feel like you're moving.
Yeah, and plus it's nothing that when you grow up in this area, and this is not special, but if you grow up in Nebraska, that shit, the lights and all that stuff, it's really fucking exciting for these people.
Yeah, and now watching The Deuce, not that I was like, it takes place maybe like a few years before I was born, but yeah, I grew up when like the New York was like that, and I remember, you probably do too, where like, you'd walk around, you know, I remember being really young and being taken around the city a little bit and just being like, oh my God, like, what is this? It just looked horrible.
But the thing is, I mean, that shows like Times Square in the back. And I still, even though people thought that was cooler, it's better now over there.
It is.
It was dangerous.
It was
then.
Really bad. I remember being terrified of it. Like, and Times Square was just terrifying and disgusting. And the subways were just really terrifying. I mean, it's better now, but it's too much better. It got too much better because now, like, it's ridiculous. I mean, living here is just like a night. I mean, expensive-wise.
Well, it's like
Disney,
though. Disney World in Times Square now, you know?
Yeah. This might be a good segue. So I watched the Seinfeld Netflix thing.
Yeah, me too.
Did you like it?
I liked it, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay. It just seemed very, like, what's the point of this?
There wasn't much of a point, and I just liked the history, and he did mostly all of his old jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah, he basically did all of his old jokes, which was fine.
I think that was the point of it, though.
But it was just funny because he talks about doing stand-up and how he started in the 70s. I feel like there was a time when, like, it was easier to do things because not everyone was doing it. You know what I mean? And, like, he was like, I auditioned at the Strip, and they, like, immediately started giving me spots. And, you know, I was like, wow, that's really? And I think it's because it was new. It was, like, a new thing, stand-up. And
I remember he said something in the documentary. He's like, yeah, we didn't even get paid, unlike now you comics who get paid to do spots around the city. I'm like, yeah, not, that hasn't changed. But
yeah, I mean, sometimes you will, but not, like... Yeah.
For regular spots, it's either small money or no money. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I don't know what... So, and I mean, I thought it was okay. I don't, it was kind of interesting how he went through, but at the same time, it felt sort of irrelevant to me. Does that make sense?
Well, you should watch, because my friend told me to watch this. It's on Amazon. It's a history of the comic strip.
Oh, really?
Have you watched that one?
No, it's good.
It's a lot of this science, but it covers all the comics, and there's a lot of comics we know in there, too. And
oh, really?
It's about the history of the club, and I thought it had Paul Reiser and people like that were in it.
It also gives a kind of skewed idea of comedy clubs and what it's like to hang out there, Because he was like, oh, it was so great. I'd just be here all the time. And my friends were here. And it was so great. And I'm like, really? But I'm like, I guess I started at a bad time when, like, people weren't very welcoming. Like, I would hang out at clubs and people weren't nice to me there.
I kind of agree. In 1980-something, if Seinfeld, there was, like, less comics. If Seinfeld was playing at the Strip and he killed, and he's one of the few real comics around in the city because there's not a lot, he was probably getting tons of pussy.
Oh, yeah, totally. He kind of talks about that, but he does it in a very Seinfeld-y way. Yeah. There were women at the bar who wanted to talk to me. I was like, I remember when he dated that Shoshana Lonstein chick. Oh, my God. I thought that chick was, like, the hottest.
No, well, he dated... Before that, he dated Tawny Catane.
He did?
Yeah, and when she was in Whitesnake video.
How did that happen? Because he was on Seinfeld?
He wasn't yet. I think it was before then. But he was, you know, he's a national headliner. And, you know.
She was on Seinfeld once.
Yeah.
It was probably around then.
I think it was a little before he was on the show. I swear.
Because the Shoshana one, I was always like, oh, my God. Well, come on, got to get into comedy. She was like a senior in high school. He was like 38.
Yeah.
And like so hot. Like the hot. Yeah, sorry. But I just remember when I saw pictures of her when they were, I was like, Jesus.
I know. Stern, he got in a big fight with Howard Stern over it because they kept making fun of it. And he wouldn't talk to Stern for years.
Really? Well, you know what? It actually was illegal. Like, I mean, I guess they acted like they weren't sleeping together. But, I mean, come on. You're not banging that chick?
It was still kind of like, yeah, you're 38, whatever. And you're on the biggest show on TV. You can get any girl you want. You know, go legal. Go legal.
Right, right.
You know what
He's
I mean?
Like, no. That is true.
I'm sure he
like,
could have pulled
no 18-year-olds. Get out of here, you old maid.
19-year-old.
What?
I thought at that time you could have got the best-looking 20-year-old in the world.
Right. I would have just loved to have been in that situation, that kind of a situation where you're like 38 and you're meeting an 18-year-old chick. You're like, 18? Get lost. When you're in college? Ew. I don't know. But I mean, you know, I'm sure, I bet like every 18-year-old he met didn't want to bang him. Like, I think he got lucky with, and you know, they're probably not all as hot as.
Yeah, but it's always.
No, you're right. You're
it
right.
It goes back to that thing. It's like, if you can get any girl kind of that you want, and you go for a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
That is slightly odd.
And I think like she had just turned 17.
Yeah.
Like it was like very borderline 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So anyway, I thought it was okay. I wasn't like that. You know, it's funny watching it. I was like, I kind of started to realize like he was so famous. He was like the most famous comedian, successful comedian. But he kind of wasn't known for his stand up. Like what made him big was the show.
Right.
So, and I've seen him do stand-up, but I feel like his stand-up, like, it's good, but I wasn't, like, a huge fan of his stand-up.
I remember him before he was on Seinfeld. Like, I would like him.
You do?
Yeah. Like, I would watch him on a...
Letterman?
Letterman or I guess, Leno or something, like, right before he was
on
the show.
I guess I didn't really... I remember when that show started, it was, like, I would see commercials with Seinfeld Chronicles, and I was always like, what is this show? And then I didn't get into it till late, like three seasons in.
I got into it, like, I think when it was the Chronicles.
Oh, you did? Yeah. You liked it?
Because I liked him.
Oh, that's I guess if you knew him. I guess I didn't follow stand-up that much. I mean, I kind of did, but not, I wasn't a huge guy with
it. Well, that doc was talking about how, you know, Paul Reiser, you know, was a similar style, but he actually got bigger first because he got discovered. You know the story about how he gets discovered in the movie? He gets in the movie Diner accidentally.
Yeah. What is that story? He like went to the audition with his friend.
Uh-huh.
I always hear those stories.
Yeah. Everyone was like, they were all saying that story was true. And Barry Levinson saw him. And the movie's about like kind of Jewish guys in the early 60s. So he just looked at him. He's like, I think you're right for this. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good in it. Yeah. He's really funny in it. That's a really great movie. But yeah, that's like, he was doing stand up at that point though, right?
But everyone thought, said Seinfeld was going to hit first.
Yeah.
And then he just got this kind of lucky break, you know?
So I guess Seinfeld was kind of like, had a lot of momentum before the show.
They say in that one thing that he never even, in the one documentary that he didn't even really want to be an actor. He just wanted to be a big stand-up.
Yeah. Which is, I think that's why, because he actually is like a good actor on that show.
What, Benson?
On Seinfeld.
Benson?
Yeah, on Benson. I guess that was his first thing. Yeah. But like, I feel like he got a lot of shit for not being that good an actor. But he, I thought he was good on the show.
Yeah, people just gave him shit because he smiled a lot.
But it was like not. I don't know. He wasn't bad.
Never got nominated for an Emmy.
He didn't.
But
go ahead.
No, in the acting community, for a long time they didn't respect comics.
Yeah,
and then it started to change.
Now they love them. No, yeah.
They would get, but as far as awards, you know, Romano started getting awards.
He did.
Yeah, and then Jim Carrey.
And I don't think Romano was better than Seinfeld on that show. Like an actor.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, Seinfeld. Yeah, I feel like it's he's. So he wasn't a good actor. That's why the show. I mean, he says things on the show that are hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I watched the show, and I mean, there's people who have shows, comics that, you know, are good performers and wannabe actors who I feel like weren't as good as him.
No. And he was smart to put really good actors around him.
Yeah.
Just like I saw a couple episodes recently of Roseanne, and she was pretty wooden at first.
Was she?
Yeah. You see the early episodes. She's not really that good. Kind of like what's not. But she was so smart, she put, like, the fucking best actors in the world around her.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like Goodman and that Laurie Metcalf, you know?
They sucked. that's basically... this is a quick thing we can talk about. It just reminded me because of Sarah Gilbert was on that show.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk... We did your show, yeah, like, 2 weeks ago at the Gaff. And... Timothy Busfield was there,
right?
Which is like, did you know who that was at the time?
I mean, when they pointed it out, I wouldn't have noticed him right off the bat.
He was on 30 something, and he was in Revenge of the Nerds, yeah. Poindexter.
Yeah,
and he was in Field of Dreams.
Aaron Sorkin liked him and put him in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was in The West Wing. Anyway, he was with a woman, and some, you know, older woman. And I was like rapping right next to Timothy Busfield. There was an Eminem song on, and I was rapping it really well. And the woman started looking at me, and kind of like almost like impressed with how I was rapping. And then Timothy Busfield was like, "Oh yeah, Eminem." And I was like, "Oh, you like Eminem?" They were both like wasted, this woman and him. And I was like, "Oh yeah, you like Eminem?" He's like, "Yeah, well, you know, I love the song Stan because, you know, like I'm a celebrity, so I've dealt with like crazy fans." And he's like, "Nothing like her though." And I was like, "Why? What does she do?" And he's like, "Well, you know, Little House on the Prairie." You know, and I'm like, and I looked at her, and I was like, "Who?" And I was like, "So because she was like a guest spot on Little House on the Prairie," I was like, "Who was she on that?" And he's like, "Laura." And I kept looking at her. And I was like, "Yeah, that, I don't know what." And then the more I looked, it was Laura Ingalls.
Yeah,
I think that's like, I've told people that story, and like no one seems to think it's impressive.
No, because it was a generational thing. That they didn't rerun that show a lot.
I guess
later.
They did it, but I mean, as a kid, I think it's because my sister. I was really young. My sisters loved it, so it was always on. But I remember I told her, I'm like, "Dude, that's Laura Ingalls."
I know.
And you were like, "No way."
And her sister was on Roseanne.
Was on Roseanne, yeah. But then it came. I guess. We talked to them for a while, and I think she said that, like, one of them is adopted. Sarah, like, Melissa Gilbert's adopted.
Yeah. And she, the conversation with that, I had her, too, because we were talking about stand-up comedy with her, is that she was like, I respect comedians. My dad was a comedian. I'm like, really?
Oh, she said that?
Yeah, so I Wikipedia'd her dad, and her dad was, like, this famous comedian who was on TV.
Oh, really?
I forgot his name, something Gilbert, and he killed himself.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
When?
In the 70s.
Oh, how? But what is that? Like, a lot of comedians do that. Yeah. Do you think that's, like, there's something to do with comedians?
Sad clown.
Yeah, there is something to that, right? Do you ever have depression?
I do, but so we all.
But do you think comedians are more prone to it? Because you always hear that, like, because even in the Seinfeld thing, it was like, you know, there's something about this. Like, if you're doing this, there's like a gene, like you're crazy or not crazy, but like there's something weird going on.
Right.
Do you agree with that? I didn't used to think that, but now I'm like, yeah, there's something.
I think a lot of it is like your desperation to be loved. You know?
Yeah.
And if you're not getting the attention that you at least want, or at least maybe you used to get.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're like. You see comedians around the city, they're not getting booked as many places they want to. They take it personally.
Yeah.
Like it's.
Well, it is a little personal. Like. It's not. We don't want you. Oh, all right, not a big deal. Just me, just my personality.
I think it's helped me to be on the other side of it and book people sometimes because it's not personal. It's like there's just so many people
you
can put on your show, you know?
Well, now it's just like there's too many comedians. Yeah. every like 3 weeks, there's like 100 new crop of comedians that like, I don't know. And then like now you can do it for like 6 months and be have a huge career immediately.
Yeah, make a video and be huge.
So that's one thing that's weird about it. You know, I've noticed. And I do think that that's true. I think what happened with me with comedy is like, I think I did get a lot of attention young from my family, and then like everyone grew up and like went away, and I didn't have that anymore. And I was like, well, I'm really funny, and everyone thinks I'm great. Like, you guys should. So I think that's why older when I would meet, because it still happens to me now. Like if I when I meet people and they don't like me, I'm like, what? Like, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe people don't like me.
You're like a millennial. You'd be a millennial.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess I was kind of a brat. No, I think I just had a very skewed idea of myself.
I think it's a lot of comedians are like that. I think that comedians, all of them got a lot of tension. They may have been the funniest one in the group, but now you're putting them all into one pot.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with a bunch of people who want to be the center of attention. Everyone does.
Right.
So comedians, you know how a lot of times comedians won't laugh at each other's jokes, or they won't.
Yeah.
You know, on Facebook and stuff like that, it's almost harder to get a like from a comedian sometimes because they're too busy posting their shit that they want you to like.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I've tried to stay off Facebook. It's a nightmare. I go on there for 4 seconds and I'm like, I'm nothing. What am I doing with my life?
So I like Twitter because it's like those are the audiences, and Facebook's is the open mic.
Yeah,
like, you know.
I got to get off this. I'm trying to get off my phone more. It's really depressing. The phone.
You can't stay on Facebook too long. You'll get depressed.
I try not to be on it. Are you on it at all?
Yeah, I mean, I like to post and not look as much.
Yeah,
that helps. Facebook is more depressing because especially all my friends are comics on Facebook, so everyone's promoting their shit.
Yeah.
Instagram actually is now getting slightly depressing because it's all
that's depressing
of
too. Of like award shows.
Or award shows. Or just go on fucking vacation somewhere that's
right.
Cool.
Well, like the Emmys just happened. Yeah. All these comedians I know are like, I'm at the Emmys. And I'm like, no, Instagram's depressing. The only time I really post on Facebook is my Twitter is linked to it.
Yeah.
So my posts from Twitter will go there usually. Yeah. So
and I can't even get too political. I get political on Twitter, but I don't on Facebook because there's a lot of bookers and stuff, I feel. Some of them I run into, I've worked with, and a lot of like Trump guys. You know, so I try not to piss them off too much because I'm like, what am I doing? I want a few likes. I want to lose a gig over this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these guys, I know some of these bookers, they will not book you if they don't mind if you make some Trump jokes, but if you are harsh, they get mad.
Yeah, I wrote a couple of mean Trump. I mean, the Puerto Rico thing, I was just very upset about. It was like, dude, it was one of those things. I'm like, enough is enough. Like, this can't be. I don't know. It's just the news. The world's like very depressing right now. Do you get that at all?
This is like most depressing week. And then today with the fucking shooting.
I know. Today was like, and it's a Monday too. Just everything's shitty. Like,
it's just not, this week is not going to end up well. You know.
Like
it's
Tom Petty was like the fifth worst thing that happened today. Tom Petty maybe dying.
And I felt really bad about that too.
Tom Petty?
Yeah, let's see.
No, that's a bummer. Like he's a bummer to die. Like he was great.
Keep talking.
I usually don't get, like, I'm not one of those, like, when celebrities die, I'm like, oh, but he's one that, like, the only celebrity that died that I really felt bad about, like, really bad, was MCA from the Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't about him. It was more about what he represented. Like, that group represented my youth.
Yeah.
Completely my youth. Like, the days of like, yeah, my life, I can do anything I want. And then like, it was, I felt like that was like officially the death of my youth, you know, like, oh man, that really bums me out. So it was more about me again.
Yeah. But also those guys were kind of, they were young. They were going to make more music, you know? And that,
yeah, he was young. I think he was like,
he was in his 40s.
Yeah. He was like 48.
Yeah. And so that pissed me off too, because I'm like, those guys were going to kick around for a while.
They
know?
Were, yeah. Even though they were starting to take their time a lot. They really would take too much time in between, you know what I mean?
But there's no, like, it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was great last night.
Right, right.
Like, there's no reason for him to do this anymore. He doesn't need to. So you do it on your phone.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it. Yeah.
It was good. It was just, like, exactly how it's been.
I think the first episode of the season always sets it up, so it's never the funniest one, but it's still good. You know?
Yeah, he. I mean, the good thing about him is like he's looked like that for the last like 30 years. So it's not like, oh, he looks so old. He just became famous looking old.
Yeah, everyone looked a little older on that show.
They
though,
did. Yeah, I mean, you start to realize how long. I mean, it was the last season like 2011?
Yeah, but the first season was 2000.
Yeah, I remember that first special. Like, because that's how it started, right? Where it's all lead up to his comedy special
right, that he bails out on.
So did they make that, do you know, specifically as like a pilot for a show, or did it just happen they made it and then they're like, let's do a show?
I think it was like there was some truth to it. I think that he was planning to originally do stand up and then he realized he didn't want to. So he decided to make a mockumentary about him not wanting to do stand up in the end.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's really he was a stand-up for a while, right?
You know those stories about him, right?
Just the story. I've heard that like he maybe even this was in the first special that he would go out and be mad at the crowd. He would just go out and be like, fuck this.
Yeah, there was one.
I really like identified his attitude of things.
There was one story where he would they gave him a. Apparently the story is this, like he would always be mad that he would get a bad spot on the show.
Yeah.
Like he was first or last, whatever. So the booker really liked him and said, listen, I'm going to take care of you tonight. It's a packed house. We're going to put you on the middle of the show, right? All you. It's going to be easy for you. And he never really that great as a comic anyway. But he goes out there. He looks at the crowd. He's like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's no, it's great. That's because that basically sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Have you ever seen him do stand-up?
Yeah, I mean.
He did on that pilot kind of a little bit.
Yeah. And I think I've seen stuff online and stuff. Yeah.
So he has a weird story, right? He was a stand-up and then he kind of stopped and he wasn't like doing well, right?
Oh, because I think he just, you know, his humor just showed you that the funniest guys sometimes can't translate that into stand-up.
Right.
And his humor was so out there that it was just not out there, just maybe not appropriate. Seinfeld's was more appropriate for stand-up. You know, so.
Yeah, it's just so funny that because I feel like he couldn't even ever get a spot or anything on TV. And then now he like. Yeah. Revolutionized comedy. It's just so funny, like you see that people like the industry. I'm sure for years, you know, there were years where Larry David was around. They were just like, no.
Well, I think he always worked though, because I think people he didn't appreciate his brilliance because he was a writer for a lot of shows.
He wrote for SNL, but I think only for like 1 year.
Yeah, then I was looking up. He was writing for some other things too.
He was
on that show Fridays. He was actually. On
I remember when he was on Fridays. Yeah, I remember.
I think people always appreciated him, like. But I think that he wasn't really, like, you know, accepted worldwide or, you know, by the general public.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely was struggling as in showbiz. But I watched it. And I was like, I think that show's. I mean, yeah, I feel like it's run its course, but I guess it hasn't because, like, I was expecting it to be like bad, but it was exactly how it always is.
You know what? Even if it's not as good as it used to be, I don't want people to shit on it. Because you know what? I want that show to be on. And this guy has no reason to make it. So if everyone starts piling on, shitting on it, he's not going to do it anymore. And then I don't get to see my show anymore.
Well, I think they're probably... I mean, the good thing is that it was good. Like, I was watching. I was like, yeah, this is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
But I remember towards the end of Seinfeld, the last year was on. And the quality had gone down a little bit.
Yeah, it was terrible, I thought.
Yeah, but still better than 99% of things on TV. You know?
Well, he was gone for the last one, right? The last season.
The last season was silly, but still better than most things on TV.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, some of them were really bad the last season, I think.
But the point is what I'm saying is it was the beginning of the internet, and I think that he took it to heart. And he said, you know what? I'm just not going to do this anymore because people are shitting on me. You know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, all right, that's fine. But now I don't have that show anymore.
Because, yeah, that's true.
You know, and I don't like that. Even if Seinfeld at half the power is better than most things on TV.
Right.
I don't think
some
trolls, it's their right to tell me when the show should be on. You know?
No, that's true. I wonder if people, the reviews I've seen for it have been good. He'll keep doing it.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But why wouldn't he? I mean, what the hell? He can just do something that's great anytime he wants. Maybe because the pressure. I don't think he cares about that, though.
No, I think he's sensitive to that. He doesn't want to ruin it. All he has now is his legacy. So if he makes something really bad, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to shit because it's like the last season or two of The Office. It was the quality had gone down.
Really? I never watched that.
Yeah, because he had left the show. But I still Steve Carell.
Oh, yeah.
But I enjoyed it. And everyone was like, oh, it sucks. I'm like, if you keep doing this, they're just going to
say. Well, I mean, but that's everything now.
Right.
It sucks. Everything sucks.
But I like the show. So Simpsons has been on for 30 years. It's not as good as it used to be, but I still have to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't watched that in a while. I go up and down. Like, I go through phases of watching it.
But aren't you glad it's still on?
Yeah. I'm not unhappy that it's still on.
It's an institution.
Yeah, it's cool that Curb is back. I mean, it's better than a lot of the shit on HBO. It just kind of shows you, you know, a lot of those comedies. And a lot of, you know, the comedy shows now are usually... Like what are the big comedy shows? None of them are big on network TV. Right? A couple of them are, right? Like Goldberg's.
Big Bang Theory is huge.
I mean, it's all right, I guess.
But that's what I'm trying to say. You don't compare Curb Your Enthusiasm to dramas. You compare it to comedies on TV right now.
Yeah,
name five ones that are better than that.
You're right. No, I can't even name. I can't even name five that are on. I mean, what is it? The Goldbergs. Everyone said Modern Family. I've never seen either of those.
Right. I've seen them, not better than Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What else is there?
Big Bang Theory, not better than Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know?
And then HBO has a lot of comedies that just aren't that great.
Yeah, the Vice Principal ones is okay.
It's all right.
But not better than Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So,
and what's the other one? I guess The Deuce, that's not a comedy. You back to that, you haven't seen it? The Deuce?
No. But that's what I'm saying. If you can name all these comedies that are on TV that are so great, then you're like, maybe there's no room for Curb. But
yeah, there's not. Yeah. No, and like I said, it was back. It felt very much like right where they left off. Yeah. He was exactly the same. Everyone was exactly the same. Everyone was on their game.
J.B. Smoove is fucking hilarious.
He's funny, and you know it is such a great dynamic. How he's just such a little baby about everything. He just turns everything into.
I feel like the show. He like fights with people all the time now on the show.
Yeah, was it not as much like that?
At the beginning, it was less like that. He would have, but now it's like every scene he's fuck. I like that though. It's funny.
Yeah. No, it's a really funny show. It's how many? What season is this? Like
9, I think.
Wow, that's awesome. Do you identify with him at all? Because I do think that's a big thing with him. Is a lot of people feel like they're like that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like very Seinfeld. Like the thing at the beginning when he's in the shower and he can't get that thing to pop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just an observation, but
right.
I think everyone's.
It is amazing how he became the breakout star of Seinfeld, acting-wise.
Right.
None of the other ones could, like, ever get another vehicle.
No, she did, though.
Oh, Veep.
Yeah.
That's another one. I mean, I've seen that once. I was like...
Huge show.
It is huge, but it's just like, who cares? No thanks. anything else? Have you seen any movies?
No, I just saw it. You know,
you just saw it.
I saw it.
Did you like it?
It was pretty good. I thought it was all right. I know you didn't
sucked.
Like it.
I thought it was okay. I think I was saying to you, like, I feel like that story is not conducive to a whole movie. Like, I feel like the first scene is great, and then after that, nothing else is as good.
Yeah. And the first scene was great in the original one.
Because it's such a great scene. Yeah. It's so creepy and like. And, you know, I don't like out of the ordinary.
Right.
And how old is the kid supposed to be in the beginning scene? I just feel like I was like, if you at that age, I know you're young, but if there was just like a weird clown in a sewer grate, I'd be a little more like, it'd be like, oh, this is. He's like, oh, yeah, hey. Like, how stupid are you? You're not like 0 years old. You know, he's like, what is the kid like 20? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Like 8, 7?
Yeah.
I guess that's young. Did you ever have any like close situations like that as a kid where you like? Because now I look back.
By a clown?
Yeah. Well, you know, New York was a lot different back then. Yeah. There were just a lot of clowns walking. But I mean, now I look back when I was like a kid, and like Seinfeld kind of talks about that a little bit. Like when he was a kid, his parents never knew where he was.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, growing, you know, I grew up here, and, like, I remember, like, being able to go to the playground at, like, 5.
Yeah, no.
Just alone, you know? And I'm like, how did I not get murdered? I mean, like, it was just, like, I wouldn't know things.
And, yeah, I don't know if it I mean, that the Eton Pates, you know, that story.
Yeah.
That was, like, the beginning of it where the kid.
And then I remember I got in trouble actually later after that. Like, well, there was one time where I disappeared for, like, an entire afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And I was probably, like, 30. No, I was, like, I was probably, like, 10, 9 or 10. I was probably 10. I went to see a movie, and then I came home, and they were, like, and they're yelling at me, and I'm, like, and I... I thought they were just mad that I'd seen a movie, and then they kept saying Eton Potts, and I just kept saying that. I'm like, I don't know who that is. But I guess that was kind of the beginning of like, oh yeah, like people can get, kids can get murdered.
Yeah. And it was weird because I there's this, in my family, my brother, that's, I got to remember the story a little bit, but we had some situation when he was younger, maybe like junior high, where this older guy wanted to hang. It almost was like that Different Strokes episode. This older guy wanted to hang out with my brother and his...
You mean the bike shop one? Yeah.
And my brother and his friend all the time. And, like, he would, you know, and he'd take them places and stuff. Nothing happened.
This was your brother?
Yeah. And nothing...
This was last year?
Yeah.
No.
I think after a while, then my family was like, this is strange, you know?
Did your family know about it the whole time? How did they meet him? How did your brother meet him?
I don't know. But maybe he was a little older than that. And then they were like, I don't think you should hang out with this guy. And he's like, okay. And he swears nothing. I believe it.
How old was your brother?
I don't know. Maybe anywhere from 13 to 15 and stuff like
that. I think I might tell you, that happened to me in this neighborhood where this guy started a relationship with one of our friends. There was like four or five of us that we'd hang out, and this one guy, one kid, he like targeted and give letters to and buy things for, and then he was always just around.
Yeah.
Taking everyone to, like, you know, paying for video games and taking everyone to movies and like, and I, you know, I was the only one that was like, I don't know, I think this is kind of weird. I told my parents and they were like, yeah, that's like weird. Don't be around that guy.
Yeah.
And then I told my friends that, and they were like, no, he was married.
Yeah.
It's just so funny, like, you know, now hearing that, like, oh, someone was married, so they're not a pedophile. Like, that actually makes it more likely that you're doing that.
Oh, yeah. We didn't know back then. It's so bad now. I remember a couple of years ago, I was hanging out with my girlfriend, and for some reason, I don't know, we had to go over to like a playground for some reason. I don't know if we were meeting someone there or something. And she's like, oh, I want to get some food. Will you just go to the playground alone first? I'm like, no, I'm not doing
that. Yeah.
She's like, what are you talking
guys.
About? Yeah. I'm
just
like,
the dude, grown dude at the playground alone.
Yeah. I'm like, she goes, I don't understand. I'm like, you have to be with me or I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
Because they're going to look at me.
People are like, well, what are you doing? I'm just hanging out. Yeah, that's. I used to go to the playground a lot when I would take my nieces there. And
nieces, right?
Yeah. No, but like, they would. No one would really talk to me. Like, I felt kind of the odd man out because I was like one of the only males there.
Yeah.
It was all these like moms who were shitty.
I get that.
They just didn't want to talk to me. You know what I mean?
Well, at least they didn't think you were a pedophile.
I don't know. Maybe they did. I mean, they could see that I was like with these kids.
You have children, you're fine.
But there is like a weird thing though. Like if as a man, I don't know. I'm finding it more like being a man. Like, you know, it's kind of like men don't have it as easy as people think. I just feel like in a lot of situations, immediately people are like, "Oh, you're a man." Ugh.
Yeah.
Like everything. Like I asked a girl something like recently and she like got all freaked out. And I was like, I just asked you where you got that hat. Like I liked the hat.
I thought you were going to say, can I sleep with you?
No. But you know what I mean? But it's like, get it. You know, it's just kind of like that. Do you know, it sounds like when I walk down the street, like there's people all the time and I'll see really hot women and they always look really angry, just staring straight ahead. And I think it's just because every guy, there's so many creepy, disgusting guys who are like, yeah, baby, like all the time.
Yeah, like those catcalling videos. Yeah.
So you're just seeing them, that the result of that all day. You know what I mean? So it must be really hard to be like a woman walking down the street. Seriously, right?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that.
Especially if you walk by me. No, but I mean, yeah, it must be. I never really thought, I mean, girls would tell me, but I'm like, you know, I walk down the street and like there's people everywhere and I get annoyed just because people are in my way. I couldn't imagine if they're all like yelling at me.
No, I remember years ago when I did a show at the Duplex.
Yeah.
Which is a gay bar.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I may have had a kind of a little twink vibe to me at that time. I was young and stuff like that. And all the guys in there.
Did you go there in your assless chaps like you used to early on in comedy?
But I left the showroom and I went to go to the bathroom and these guys were like grabbing my ass. Like they didn't fucking
They
care.
Were?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, now I know what a woman feels
right.
You know?
I think like when a guy goes to jail, they're like, oh, this is what it's like for a woman in the world.
Yeah.
Because like they're in jail and they're like, oh, like I might get raped at any time. And I'm like, not, I'm kind of joking, but I do feel like it's like a similar vibe. Like women do have to worry about that. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to go out tonight. I might, maybe some guy will be crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I think, and it's also, it's like guys justify it. Like when I was in that gay bar that time, like I think they justify their actions. Like, well, he's in a gay bar, so he must like this.
Right. Right.
You know? And that's what girls get all the time. Like, well, she's out. Hanging well, out.
Yeah. Well, she's in her house. I mean, why would she be in her house if she if she's next to her bed? Like, oh, you're crazy. All right, well, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Actually, you have a show. You're doing the comic strip?
Yeah, the Seinfeld place.
Yeah.
All right, so, let's look for the keyword stuff. Tom Petty, Vegas, that stuff was really
Seinfeld.
Bad. Seinfeld, that shit's bad, man, all of it.
Vegas or Seinfeld?
Well, Vegas.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Yeah.
Trump, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
We mentioned all that. What else has happened? Jim Carrey is crazy or something?
Yeah, that's old news, though.
No, there's a new thing this week. He killed his girlfriend or something.
Oh, yeah. We can save that one for another time.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, Curb.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
And, yeah, gun control.
Tom Petty.
Gun control.
Gun control. Trump sucks.
All right.
We'll see you next time. Right, last exit to Brooklyn. Bye-bye. Somewhere I gotta go.